Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And you can always find podcasts on CITR.ca or on my website, SpiritualShow.com. So we have a very exciting episode today because one of my favorite spiritual teachers, one of my favorite people in the world, is Summer McStravick, and she's going to be on the show. She is the author of the book Flow Dreaming, a radical new technique for manifesting, or something like that. I don't have it in front of me. And she's also the host of the Flow Dreaming show on Contact Talk Radio, I believe. Summer, is that the station you're on?
Yes. Hey, Marie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am excellent.
Good.
Well, we'll see though as the hour progresses.
I'm sure you'll be even better. One of the things I started actually listening to you when you were on Hay House Radio. Someone had told me that Doreen Virtue was on there, and I was listening to her show. And then you were the network producer at the time. And so I started listening to your show, and I quickly became a fan because your energy is awesome and flow dreaming is awesome. And recently I was doing your prosperity challenge. And so that's what inspired me to ask you back on the show, because you've been on a couple times already. So do you want to give us an update? You also have a new program or a new web seminar that's coming out. So can you tell us a bit about that and what you've been up to?
Oh, gosh, where do I start? It's been a while since we last talked. Oh, boy. I've got so much that's going on, but I think I should tell people what flow dreaming is a little bit.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, you're right. I came out of Hay House, and I was fortunate or blessed for about a decade to have Louise Hay as my boss. To be given the amazing task of creating a worldwide radio network, Hay House Radio, which I developed and got out there and ran for, I don't know how many years, maybe six of those years, the first 6 years, I think, of its existence. And that's where I started my show, Flow Dreaming, which really for me was just kind of like my own little personal airspace time, you know, where I could talk to the world and you know, it was kind of a fun thing for me because the rest was just work, work, work. And I was stunned and amazed when a bunch of people started listening. And I mean a bunch of people. It was one of the top-ranked shows. And I kept thinking, this is amazing. What does this mean? How could that be? And, you know, now I just chalk it up to everything that's really happened to me since I started working with the flow. Flow dreaming and your flow, it puts you where you need to be and doing what you need to be doing. And if you just allow it and go with it and ask for it and accept it, you'll be put in that position, which I was over and over again. So today what I do is I have a website called flowdreaming.com. It's my hub. It's where all my, you know, circle of people are and friends and, I mean, even my family, everybody is there. And I create tons and tons of what I call flow dreams, which are these audio MP3s that focus on different areas of your life. One might work on your health, another one on finding a great relationship, another one on being super lucky. And they're not meditations. Flow dreaming is not meditation at all. It is a kind of manifesting practice where you don't just have to think good thoughts all day and keep yourself in alignment, because that's really, really hard to do. It's kind of like a super booster of alignment and good thoughts. You move into what I call this flow space. You use a lot of powerful emotion, which is why it's definitely not meditation, because you get yourself really moved in this place, which I call flow. And then you just start to feel what it is that you ask for, what it is you want. So the MP3s I've created and all the books I've written really just give people tons of access and ways to go in and do that and learn the process and learn how to manifest. Do you want me to keep going? You know me. I have to stop, and otherwise you have to jump on top of me if you want to break in.
Well, I love, Summer, how everything flows through you. And so just to kind of sum it up in my understanding of what you do, it's like a very active visualization technique that puts you in that energy of, like, being in the zone, going with the flow of life, that yeah. universal energy. So that's sort of yeah. how I sum up what flow dreaming is.
Although, and wait, I don't know if I would say visualization.
No?
I would call it more like a feeling.
Feeling, yes.
If that's my made-up word, feelization, because it's your emotional state that is actually the most potent in this energy. And, yes, the flow is... It's basically, I think of us as all being made out of information, data. You know, it's an old concept. All the teachers talk about it. We're basically a consciousness that's filled and filled with information. Everything that's ever happened to us, that we've seen, felt, done, whether in this body or outside of it, right? That's who we are. But we're also these moving beings. We are expanding. We are increasing all the information experiences that come to us every moment of our lives. So really, you could say we have a trajectory. You know, we're like a comet through the sky. Everyone around us is doing the same thing. So is the entire universe. So I look at all of our little trajectories or flows as being kind of individual flows of energy, like little streams that are also at the same time part of a much bigger stream, you know, the ocean. So if you are able to get yourself aligned into your stream, your flow, it is a natural, easy place to be where everything just opens up for you. It would be as ridiculous to have resistance in your flow as it would be for the Earth to start moving backwards around the sun. It's just a natural state. It is a natural direction. We are natural beings, and we follow all the same laws as everything else. So that's really kind of what I describe flow as. And, oh, that reminds me, you asked about what I was teaching. I'm actually giving a free class, and it's an hour and a half where I'm taking people through the 8 reasons why their manifesting hasn't been working, and I'll be teaching a little bit along the way, too, of what flow dreaming is and how to do flow dreaming, but that's coming up really soon. It's about 2 weeks from now, September 12th, and the best way to learn about it would be actually to either go to my Facebook page, which is Flow Dreaming. Just type in Flow Dreaming, you'll get there. Not my name page, because I don't do a whole lot there, but you have to type Flow Dreaming in. Or get on my mailing list, which is to go to my website, and you can sign up and actually get a free Flow Dream from me. And that's totally free to everybody. You just call in, you enjoy yourself, and have fun. And I'm doing this because I've been getting so many questions lately from people, emailing me. I've been doing it, nothing's working, law of attraction's not working, I'm giving up, and so I'm just taking some time out of my life to answer everybody all at once. Here's what you need to focus on, here is what's not working, here is what your particular thing is that you particularly are doing to kind of bungle things up. So yes, thank you for mentioning that, I'd love to see some new people there.
Awesome. And so that's going to be an hour and a half class. If people can't make the live event, will they be able to listen after the fact?
Well, there is no recorded encore. I'm only going to be running it live so I can be present. I might run a couple more encores of it in different time zones.
Okay.
Because people are already screaming at me in in the UK that they can't stay awake. So, yeah.
Okay.
But if you sign up for it, I'll send you out all the other dates where I'll be doing an encore.
Awesome. Okay, so flowdreaming.com is your website, and then you can just put Flow Dreaming into Facebook and find your Facebook page.
Yeah.
So I was doing the Prosperity Challenge, which is a 14-day program for manifesting wealth and abundance. And so that's what inspired me to get back in touch with you, because it has been a little while. We've both been so busy. So there was a time where we were kind of chatting on Facebook for a bit, and then we both got so busy that I haven't really had any even talk to you. So thank you so much for taking the time. And I know you've been busy with your girls, too, in the summer.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have been. It's been a busy kind of over full year for me, but that's what I do. I start things like that. I have a whole new program where I'm bringing in a bunch of people I'm going to be basically mentoring people. And I've been doing it for the last couple of years where I work with people once a month to really make changes in their lives. But I'm totally been restructuring that program this summer. So it's just consumed me. I've had to write a giant workbook and set up all these private Facebook groups. It's just, that's where I've been. I've been complaining to my husband. We just bought new lawn furniture for the backyard, and I think I've sat in it twice. He keeps trying to bring a beer into me in the office. I'm like, no, honey, I'm working. Can you please brush the kids' teeth?
Sounds like you need to find an assistant or a virtual universal assistant or something.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that. There's stuff in the works. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, so. A lot has been going on, but all really, really good stuff. I mean, I'm really fortunate that I get to work from home, and I get to go pick up the kids from school, and I'm here for them afterwards. And I attribute it all to the flow. I never, first of all, I never even saw myself creating a radio network or you know, getting to work with some of the people I've worked with in my life, and then being able to have my own, you know, self-built company, really, teaching people that I love. And I was thinking the other day, the people that I get to work with, they're all over the world. They're all people like me because they're the ones who are energetically drawn to what I do. So they're also kind of go-getters. They're not satisfied with, you know, what everybody else seems to be satisfied with in life. They always want to improve something. And they're often just really super nice. So I love the people I work with.
Awesome.
Oh, but to go back to the Prosperity Challenge, speaking of the people, I got an email just this morning from a gal named Lynn Hunter, and she just popped up out of the blue and said, Summer, do you remember me? I'm the woman who won $1.4 million at the casino after I was listening to your, and it was one of my money flow dreams that I had made, like the Prosperity Challenge. And I said, oh, my gosh, Lynn, I so remember you. Tell me what's happened. Have you used that money to create an awesome life for yourself? But you reminded me because you said the Prosperity Challenge, and I thought, oh, that was Lynn from it, and she just emailed me this morning. So funny, huh?
Well, that's an awesome synchronicity because just the other day I was thinking about I have this fascination with the concept of luck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As so many people do. And I had one lottery winner on the show who won $82.5 million, and he attributed it to, he's a Wiccan priest, and so he asked the gods and goddesses, and he won. And so when he won, he was in the media talking about Wicca and promoting it. And my thought that I was having the other day is I never hear of lottery winners saying that they won money and attributing it to the law of attraction. Yet there's so many people that I see on Facebook every day that are posting about the law of attraction, and then they're like, oh, I'm so sick and my life is awful. Oh, law of attraction. And so I'm glad to hear that you you have a client or a listener who actually does feel like that's what it came from.
Oh, yeah, I'm, and not just her. She's just sort of like the most spectacular one because she emailed me right after and said, guess what? And I said, wow, can I take a finder's fee? No, I didn't really say that. But, yeah, I have tons of people who have emailed me over the years that the money ones especially seem to work very well. But I also have one called Super Lucky that I created, which, just like you said, I'm fascinated, too, is – you know, is luck an energy? I think it is, just like everything. Every condition is an energy. Every emotional state is an energy. Because clearly, if you're feeling something, if there's something surrounding you, it's got some sort of informational content in it for you to recognize it for what it is. So that informational content of that energy state or that condition or that state of being is something then that has a flow to it. And if you think of like your life as a scarf, you know, that's being knitted, you have all these threads of yarn. Every thread of yarn is a flow of energy. So you have to choose carefully, which ones do I want to bring into my life? And some of those threads are people. Some of those threads are your workplaces. Some of those threads are where you live, the energy of your home. Some of them are energies like luck or energies like gratitude. And you bring those in. You purposely weave those feelings into your life. So that's the big mistake people make, and that's the thing I teach so much about, You don't wait for these things to happen to you. You create them inside you first, totally disconnected. You know, you put the cart before the horse in this kind of work. You feel luck inside you. You say, I am the luckiest person in the world. Things go my way. I'm so in my flow. It takes me wherever I need to go. All I need to do is feel right now what has happened to me. And it's best, by the way, I'm kind of teaching a little bit about slow dreaming here. It's best if you don't put a lot of details on it. When you feel what has happened to you, it's something like this. Something marvelous has happened in my financial life. I can't even believe it. You can even say that, by the way. There's some people who say you can't say negatives. I do it because it evokes a sensation of, wow, that's amazing. And I feel that inside myself. And I do this all the time in my business. I'll say, oh, gosh, I feel how I'm surrounded by happy, loving clients. Only the best people find my work, the people who can truly be helped by it, and I'm just surrounded by that energy. It lifts me up. I feel so happy and grateful for it. So I'm feeling that before I even know what I'm going to wake up to in the rest of my day or who's going to send me an email in the rest of my day. So another word for that is pre-action, which is what I call feeling something before the action actually occurs. Does that make sense?
Totally. And it's interesting, Summer, because when we talk about, I mean, your flow dreaming isn't affirmations, but when you kind of gave the example of saying like, oh, I'm so lucky or magical things happen to me and whatnot. Yeah. What do you say about or to the people who they try to say, okay, I'm so lucky or good things happen to me. And then they're in their mind that the reaction is, no, I don't. That's not true.
Oh.
Or like it just feels like it's
discordant. Now you're jumping into my webinar.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the reasons why your manifesting isn't working for you.
So are you going to help us get that voice out of our heads?
You can. Affirmations are really just a verbalization of a feeling. If there's no really strong, you know, totally believed feeling inside of you when you're saying it, then you might as well be reciting a recipe list. It's not going to do anything for you. And when you stand in front of the mirror and you very self-consciously say those nice affirmations to yourself the whole while, there's an energy part of yourself that's rejecting them. All you're doing is you're setting up like a reverb situation. You know, the energy just bounces back and forth. It can't go anyplace. Because as much as you're trying to change, you're also simultaneously rejecting it. And people do that a lot. And that's why when I speak the affirmations, I'm simply verbalizing for you the feeling that's going on inside me. When I'm actually in my flow doing the technique in flow dreaming, I might use words. I might totally only use feelings. I might allow some images to come in, images of me happy dancing, filled up with what it is I'm looking for. If I'm flow dreaming for a great communication, say, maybe I've had a problem between my husband and myself or a friend, I will feel the energies of both of us, and I'll call in my flow. I'll say, allow this to be easy. Let's get back on track. Whatever resistance was here, I was paying attention to, and now I know we need to get back into that smooth, easy place. Create some places in my life to open up where this can occur. Allow things to come in because I can feel it happening already. I can feel that great conversation, that total openness and sharing already occurring inside me. I'm setting it up now as an energy template, and I'm feeling it, and therefore I'm creating it.
Awesome. Woo, chills.
I know. I keep throwing all these words out, like energy templates and pre-action and stuff. I hope I'm not overwhelming people, but there's like a lingo I've developed over the years of, you know, how to talk and work in this space that's the most effective.
Well, I feel like people who listen to synchronicity are probably, I mean, when you hear the word energy template, like it, there's sort of an energy behind it, and I think it will make sense to people. And if it doesn't, you can always go to flowdreaming.com and find out more about flow dreaming and sign up for the webinar on September 12th. It's time for a break, so we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment. Right now, we are speaking with Summer McStravick, and she is the creator of the manifesting technique flow dreaming. She has multiple books, a radio show, and you can find out all about that at flowdreaming.com. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Red Jam Slam Society presents Radio Fest Fundraiser on September the 6th, 2013, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Radio Cafe, 101 Hastings Street in Vancouver on the corner of Columbia. Come and meet our lineup of Aboriginal professionals and our ever-expanding cultural industry featuring model Jolene Alicia Mitten and carver Andy Wesley. With these artists and more, we will be raising funds for our first ever radio festival to be held within days on September 10th to the 13th in celebration of reconciliation. For more information, please go to redjamslam.com. Red Jam Slam Society presents Radio Fest.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband Tom and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
The Science Undergraduate Society is excited to present SUS First Week 2013. As one of the most anticipated SUS events of the school year, they have a ton of events lined up to showcase this year, including a revamped opening day carnival, plenty of daily giveaways, and a science versus engineering water fight you will not forget. Be sure to follow LabRat on Facebook and Twitter for more details.
My name is Natasha Raya Moreau, but now I am playing with my breast again. Nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
Well, welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking right now with Summer McStravick, and she is the creator of Flow Dreaming, and it's all about getting in your flow, feeling. She uses the word pre-acting rather than reacting to your current surroundings. You can pre-act to what you want to create in your life. So welcome back to the show, Summer.
Ah, thank you. I'm here.
So the thing that got me back listening to the Prosperity Challenge was I happened to find a book on my bookshelf that I bought a while ago at a used bookstore closing out sale, and it was the Shakti Gawain's Creative Visualization. And then I was reading it, and some of the language kind of reminded me of some of the language that you use. So, and that made me pick up the Prosperity Challenge. And I'm curious, did you read that book?
You know what? I have not read her book. Or if I have read it, I probably read it when I was 15 or 16 years old. Mm-hmm. It's been that long. But I think I may have interviewed her a couple of years ago.
Oh.
So there's some people that I can't remember. I thought I had her on the radio, or I had tried. Anyway, I have a podcast. That's why I still do. I still do my radio show, and people can find it through iTunes or through my website. But I don't remember her book in a fresh sense. I remember, though, that I used to have, before I found Flow Dreaming, I used to have a more, I guess you could say, traditional or old school way of manifesting, which was to rely on visualization. And there were a lot of rules around that, such as, you know, you don't just picture the house, you picture the door, you picture the doorbell, you walk inside, you see the furniture. There used to be a way of teaching that said that the more detailed, the better. The more you immerse yourself in the visuals of it, the better. And I discovered, actually, that for me and for people who flow dream, that's the worst way you can do it. And that's because when we focus heavily on the details, what we're doing is we're basically telling the universe, telling our higher selves, telling our flow, that we know better than they do because we've already found the way that it has to happen. We already know what it has to look like. We've already decided exactly what will please us. So you've taken this huge, you know, ocean of opportunities that would normally be out there, and you have narrowed them down to a tiny little sliver of what is acceptable for you, what will constitute the perfect resolution of your visualization. And then people say, why isn't it happening? And I say, well, can you imagine? You just winnow down all the opportunities to very, very few. And depending on what you're asking for, you know, perhaps you're asking to win $1 million. Let's go back to that again. But you only buy a lottery ticket once a year. You hardly ever follow through on that. I said, how many shots, how many opportunities does your higher self, your energy, your flow have to give you what you're asking for? You're asking for something, but you have cut off all the means to bring it to you. So instead I say, if you're asking for that $1 million, here's what you would do instead. You would feel yourself being very well taken care of, having all the security you need, being so financially secure. You have more money than you know what to do with. Whatever you want to do in your life, you have the funds to cover. You feel totally at ease about this. You feel completely secure. You are ecstatic about the way that this money came to you. It was amazing how it dropped into your life. It was there for you. You felt like, I will be the best caretaker in the world for this. I am the best caretaker. And it's an incredibly happy, secure feeling all through you. And so I say to the person, now, do you really care how that money reaches you? Does it have to come through the lottery? Does it have to come through your inheritance? Does it have to come through, you see, because we get hung up trying to figure out ways through all the things we currently know. But all the things we currently know are the result of things that have happened in our past. So we're trying to plan our future based on stuff that's already gone down. When you're a manifestor, you're looking at the future as something that you are programming from the present. You're saying, okay, despite all the other situations that I've already created in my past, many of which I don't even really like, I'm going to look to my future and say, here's how I want to feel. And this is what I'm giving to my flow, this energy template, again, of my feelings around this area. Now, my future is being woven as we speak. All the choices people make, the friendships that we have, the phone calls we receive or we don't receive. Imagine every one of these little incidents as a little bit of someone's energy being woven into your flow. And then when they depart out of your life, their energy goes away from your flow. It's kind of like when you go, you know, to the supermarket or gas station. You interact with someone briefly. They become part of your life, your energy, your experience, and then they leave again. Some things last a long time, like your job or hopefully your marriage. You know, that's an energy that comes into your flow, stays for quite a while before it departs. So if you're looking for the future, you're saying, I feel great that I have so much income. And now your higher self, your flow, source, God, whatever you want to call it, can say, I wonder what the quickest, easiest, fastest way, the way that's most in alignment with her, will be to bring her this. And that's what you receive.
Thanks, Summer. And I'm curious, maybe you'll be covering this in your event on September 12th, but you talk about, like, money is an energy. And the way it is now, I mean, money used to do things like barter, and now we have cash, and it's even gone beyond that. It's even more energetic now because most of us don't even use cash. It's all just electronic energy transferring around the world, trillions of dollars a day, which you mentioned in one of your flow dreams. But so many of us have this resistance to the idea of getting money. Like, we could go out, if we needed food, we could go out and into the woods, and the world is abundant. There's food sources everywhere for us. But money seems, there seems to be this disconnect for so many people around getting money, which really is just the means to get all the other things that we want or need in our lives. So why is that?
Yeah. It's a good question, especially when you consider some of the imbalances you see out there. You see massive banks and governments and corporations, and they all, you know, hold these trillions of dollars, and you think, how did they get all that energy? Why don't I have some of that? Well, in truth, everybody has some of that. Whether it's a teensy little trickle to some person in a third world country who has very little access, but nonetheless, they still have access to these, you know, giant places that have trillions and trillions. Money is an energy of exchange, and it's just one of the things that is an energy of exchange. You know, a poor person is still exchanging something in order to get, you know, the food on their table, the house. They might be exchanging their labor. They might be exchanging, teaching or something like that. And then you say, oh, well, that's sounding like bartering. Yes, bartering is an energy of exchange. It's just one that our culture doesn't seem to value very much, but it's still there. So when you're looking at money as an exchange of energy, just going back and forth, you have to ask yourself, I'm giving something to the world. The world should be giving it back to me. How do I want to collect that? And some people, interestingly, they collect it back by having tons of friendships and, you know, the fantastic social life, and other people take it back through robust health and feeling, you know, like they love nature and they get a lot of exchange that way. Some people, their focus is money. All I want is money. And we say, oh, those greedy bastards. But you have to think in your life. You have to sit and ask yourself that question. If I'm not getting enough return of what I'm doing in money, why not? What am I getting that return in? And some people, some of my clients I've asked this to, they realize they're not getting much of a return at all. It's all going out of them. And I say, you know what's happening? You've created like a bank. You have all this that you've earned, that you're owed. Why aren't you taking it? It's not like that energy just goes away. It's there for you to receive back. And that's when we get to sort of core issues inside people, like receiving, for instance. Why do we feel that we don't deserve something, or someone else should have it, not us? There's a huge field of resistance that people have developed about why they can't have money and the beliefs that surround it. And that's actually the reason I created that prosperity challenge. I mean, it's not a business program, you know that. It's a program that walks you through seven different extremely common resistance patterns that we have inside of us to earning a good income. And that's why, you know, you play one of these MP3s a day, and you're reading the information, you're doing the exercises, and some of the days are really going to trigger something in you, and some of them won't do anything at all for you, but that's on purpose, because we're trying to figure out where are your resistant points to having a very common energy of exchange. There's absolutely no reason in the whole world that other people should have more than you. It's not a God-given law. So if it's not happening, you have to say, wow, I wonder why I'm not accepting that. I wonder why I'm not receiving that. Okay?
Well, I really like, Summer, there's some of the days you go through, like you said, 7 days, and then you repeat it. Mm-hmm. I actually highlighted days 4 and 11, gratitude, stability, and security.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I also really liked, I think it was day 3? Yeah, trust in the unexpected and divine guidance. And I think that's sort of what you were saying about, like, when we have such a clear, specific idea of what we want, we're kind of putting ourselves into a little box when the things that really what we think we want, if we want the big house and all of that with the beautiful doorbell, and really, why do we want that? Because it makes us feel secure, because it makes us feel safe, because we feel comfortable. So, I mean, there's so many other ways that we can get those feelings.
Yep, exactly. Yes, and that's what I try and show people, that it shouldn't matter to you how it comes to you, as long as it comes through a way that is good and doesn't cause suffering, of course.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you receive the feelings from it, what do you care how you receive it, you know, how you get it? I always knew that I wanted to, again, have my own business and, you know, be more in charge of my own life again. And Flo came up with, well, you've got to teach this. You know, duh, Summer. It took me a number of years, actually, to really, you know, say okay to it. And the reason is, in fact, this is a great example of my own resistance that I'll share. You know, I kept at my job, which I did enjoy. I mean, it was fun, and I loved working, you know, with all these great, you know, spiritual masters and coaches. But ultimately, I wanted to be home with my kids. I wanted to be independent, in charge of my own life, take time off when I wanted, you know, all the things that a lot of people who want to work from home feel. And yet, you know, here I had this thing that I was sharing with the world, this flow dreaming. I think it was my first book came out in 2005, and I didn't leave till 2009. It took me 4 years. of the universe saying, you're asking for something, we're handing it to you, and you're resisting it. Why? Why are you doing that? Until, you know, finally I got to such a disconnect that I said, okay, I accept. And that's a classic example of me creating something for myself in my life, having my flow, my higher self, give it to me, and me saying, no, I can't take it. And that happens so many times for people when it comes to money. And I don't mean just, you know, like I didn't accept a job or I should have, or I, you know, it's not self-sabotage. It's kind of, in my case, I don't know which one of the days when I have fallen under, what would I call it? Gosh, I'm not even sure. I haven't even thought about it in that context till this conversation. Probably something having to do with fear of being self-sufficient or competent, something along those lines. We do a lot in flow dreaming. When you get into it deeper, we do a lot of digging around and finding what it is that blocks you and resists you, or that you resist, excuse me, because those are the energies that flow actually sends you to say, hey, you want to make this better? You have to look at the resistance. Here it is. I look at all resistance in our lives as a friend, as a good thing, because it's telling you something vital. It's giving you an absolute, more than a clue, it's showing you this is what is wrong in your life. This is your block. I mean, people say, I can't find my blocks. I can't find them. Yeah, they're right in front of you. Open your eyes. What's not working? That's your block. That's what it is. And if you push on it, that's the thing. You've got to push on it. You've got to push on it with your manifesting. You've got to push on it with your actions. And when you start to get more and more uncomfortable, and this is where people either drop out and stop doing their manifesting, or you know, something comes up and they change their mind at the last minute, this is where their discomfort is telling them, if you take this on, if you approach this, if you tackle this, you will move through it into what you're after. But we're leading you to it. What are you going to do next with it? That you will find your blocks. I know, because I work with people, like I said, in private sessions all the time. And most of the time, I would say 80% of the time, we spend at least the first couple of sessions working together to figure out where those blocks are hiding and what the resistance is. And then the hard part comes, which is step up. Use your flow to ease your way, because people get so afraid. They think, well, if I touch that, you know, that thing in my life, that fear, that insecurity, you know, I don't want to do it. I can't. It's going to be hard, difficult. My life will fall apart. I'll lose my job. I won't be able to stand my husband, or, you know, whatever it is. And I say, no. Use flow. Say to your flow, you can make this easy for me. You can make it happen at a pace that I'm so comfortable with. You can make it happen. You can set up situations for me where you know it's perfect for me to grasp it and go, oh, maybe I should look at this. We have these expectations in our head that it's going to be hard, difficult, scary, upsetting. That expectation is what holds us from dealing with things. And yet, when we have those expectations, that's exactly what we end up creating. You see? Hard, scary, difficult.
Well, Summer, I can imagine that it's a lot easier. I find this with my friends and stuff. It's easy for me to see, like, other people's blocks and what's holding mm-hmm. them back. Like, oh, if you just do this, your whole life would be different. But the challenge is because we don't have the perspective, we're right in the middle of it, so we often can't see it. And it oftentimes, the harder we try, the more we're pushing against, right? Which is sort of the opposite of being in your flow. You're trying really hard and you're doing all of this action and it's almost like you're treading water. So is there a way that people can sort of expand their perspective so that they are able to more effortlessly see their blocks without a coach having to tell them?
Yeah. Well, obviously a coach is a very good way. Beyond that, what I find, first of all, the slower route, frankly, the route I've taken, because it took me a while to wake up to the idea that I might even, you know, need a coach, is that when you experience resistance, it's always a clue. Your flow is telling you, hey, don't go there. I mean, pretend there are five roads ahead of you, and they're all leading, you hope, to the same destination. You start down one, And, oh, my gosh, you know, a big strong wind comes up and birds poop on your head and you stumble over all these rocks and it's horrible. And you go, well, I have to stay on this road. If it's hard work like this, it must be the right road. Must be the right road. Okay, that's one person. They're encountering resistance and they've been taught you have to just, you know, man up and go and keep moving on. So what happens is they start to go very slowly because they have to deal with all the stuff, you know, that's in front of them that is just holding them back and not going their way and mean people in their life and this and that. So somebody else is on the next road, or they choose the next road, and they say, oh, this road is pretty nice. It's not too bad. You know, there's some mud here and there, but I can step around that. It's an easier road. Then there's another road. Okay, there's only three roads. There's another road. This one is straight, smooth. It is paved. It is easy. It is wonderful. There is no resistance if they walk along that road toward their goal. The thing is, people don't always get on the easy road because, one, they don't trust it. If it's easy, if it's something that I can already, this is a great example. Think of a talent that you have that you can totally do so easy and one that you kind of don't really make feel important to you as a result because you were born with it and so what? It doesn't seem like a big deal, right? So a lot of times people don't even build their careers around that talent. They say, no, I have to learn something. I have to get good at something else even though it's harder for me because that thing I was born with, whatever. So people do that all the time. They don't trust that the path of ease is the path that's actually the best for them. But the person who's walking on that easier path gets there so much faster than the person who keeps struggling through the resistance. So your flow is like this. It's always trying to nudge you onto a path where you're going to get the emotions, the feelings, the things you're after sooner than through other paths, such as through resistance. So pay attention to your resistance as it comes up. Ask, what is this? Is this telling me, no, it's always going to be this way, it's going to be rough and tough? This is not the same thing, though, as giving up or being lazy. I have to make a huge, huge qualifier to all of this. When you are on an easy road, you can run, you can exert yourself, you can go full out. You're going to go further and faster, and that in itself can be kind of scary, but in an exhilarating way. And so it's like the same effort you're putting as that guy who's trying to break up the rocks in front of him is the runner on the next road. Same effort. It's just the way they're going about getting where they're going is quite different. So one person is getting lots of success and rewards and happiness in their life. The other person is getting lots of difficulty and bad stuff. And it seems so obvious. Why stay on the rocky, difficult road? One, people usually don't know better. They can't open their eyes, and that's where, again, it's hard to see yourself from the outside in, but it takes someone else pointing at them and saying, why do you keep suffering with this? Why in the world do you keep suffering with this? And the person will say, well, I have to. I'm committed to it, or I made a promise, or no one else will hire me. My town is too small, or, you know, we have a ton of justifications and rationalizations for why we are where we are. And so you have to look at your rationalizations and say, hey, you're there because of resistance, aren't you?
Summer,
does that make sense?
Yes, it totally does. And I'm so glad you brought up the difference between being lazy and a quitter,
mm-hmm.
because that happens with a lot of people. It's like if it's not always easy all the time, they just quit. And then
right.
they go from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other, and they never
yeah.
achieve anything. So that's a lot different than because there are struggles in life. Things
right.
do come up.
Mm-hmm. And what happens then, you know, I have a friend who's like that. She's had about 15 different careers, you know, because each one comes up. It's a little bit hard, and then she gets bored with it, and then she stops. And what's occurred is that she has created a cycle of making herself feel like a continual failure. I'm going to start something, but I know that I'm not going to finish it because I'm just that way. So she has created this self-perception, even though she's always trying to, you know, get herself out of it. And it's like, where am I going with this? If she were to choose one of those things that she loves, and instead, when she starts encountering resistance from it, because oftentimes you're going to hear a little bit of resistance on any path that you're on. Think of it like, you know, bumper boats. You know, you're either in the water floating or you're bumping up against the side. Well, what does it happen if you bump against the side? It's trying to get you back in the flowing water again. That's the point of being bumped away from the side. Think of resistance as trying to bump you away from a course of action that's really not the best. So in the case of my friend, I would say to her, you know, you love to dance. Why don't you, you know, why did you quit? Well, there's nobody who does the kind of dancing I do here, and there's no money in this kind of dancing, and I tried to work for the studio, and they ended up only paying me, you know, $10 an hour, and it wasn't enough. I couldn't live on it. I'd say, okay, here's what you need to do. Your flow is telling you dance, because that brings out the best in you. However, don't dance there. Don't work with that person. None of those are all hard roads. But keep your eyes focused. The easy road will open for you. Allow yourself to find it. Maybe you ultimately have to open your own dance center. Maybe that's where you're going to try something, and it's going to just feel like, oh, my God, this was it all along. The point is, when you're manifesting, and this is, a little more of my webinar coming out. We'll go into more of it in the webinar, but I'll give you a little hint here. People stop giving their flow action. They do a few things and they say, oh, it didn't work out, that's it. Or they do a few things that didn't work out and they keep doing those things that don't work out. Instead, you have to stop and say, I still feel myself a beautiful dancer. I am teaching students. I'm training other teachers. I am going for it. I feel myself. Oh, I love it. I'm in my swirly skirts and I feel wonderful. And then you say, what can I do next? What haven't I tried? What action can I give my flow? Because the more action I give my flow, the more the universe can respond to you. The less action, the less stuff that you do, the less you can get feedback. So it's the feedback that helps you always stay on the right path. Does that make sense? The more feedback you get, the more you can continuously be nudged on the easy straight path.
That does make sense, Summer. And I'm curious because I know that you are, I don't know right now, but I know you have been a listener of Abraham Hicks because you were with Hay House before. And yeah. One of the things that they say is that you should take inspired action. But mm-hmm. But what about people who are so stuck they just don't feel inspired?
I know. I work with people like that who are, it's like reaching bottom. You reach a bottom and you're trying to reach out of it. You know, you're trying to lift your arms up out of the pit and you're just hoping somebody's going to grab you and help haul you out. And often that's me. You have to start where it is you start at. If you're coming from a place where you are feeling depressed and hating your, say, job, for instance, and you don't understand why you're not being given anything else because every day you're praying for it, think about what's going on. You are praying for one feeling, yet every day you're generating mountains of this other kind of feeling, hatred. When you are generating a feeling towards something, you are energetically connecting with it. I mean, hatred is a very strong connective energy. When we hate, you know, that's what they say, hate and love are like, you know, bedfellows. Mm-hmm. When we hate, we're connecting ourselves to something. So those people who are feeling very depressed, they can't see outside of their circumstances, they're very connected. They're very engaged in those circumstances. First thing they have to learn to do is to stop hating where they're at, stop despising where they're at, to achieve a kind of detached neutrality. And that's something that you can work on in the flow. You can go in and say, look, I know I don't like this job, but this job is changing. I am changing. I am moving in new directions. And I accept this job is something that is flowing out of my life, away from me, no longer present, no longer around me. And eventually, if you can adjust yourself to that point where you can still say, I don't like the people here, I don't like this place, but I recognize this is very temporary. I got myself here when I was in a different state of mind, a different state of growth and awareness in my life. I've now surpassed that state. That's an old me, and that's part of my frustration, that it was an old me who got me into this despair. Now I've changed. Now my life has to naturally align me to wherever I am, and that's going to mean a new job, and I know it. Now I will take action, lots and lots and lots of action, towards finding that job.
Very different energy. Love it.
Yeah. I know. I mean, and you know what? Like all these things I'm saying, they're frankly lessons that I've gone through myself. I have hated jobs. I have, you know, all of these things. I've worked through, and that's how I've said, oh, that's how the energy handles it. I mean, like, I started the interview talking about how flow dreaming was a technique and how I have lots of MP3s that help people achieve different states of emotional feeling in these different areas of their lives. But once you start doing this on and on in a bigger way, you realize it's kind of a way of looking at the world. It's like, you know, I consider myself a manifesting practitioner. I flow dream, but ultimately the world to me is made of energy. And it's just about, how do I manipulate this energy? Where am I starting to feel scared when I bump up against something that I haven't encountered before? What does that mean? Should I plunge into it, or is it the kind of scared that says that's bad for you, stay away from it? I've become more and more attuned to every event, every person, every circumstance in my life, and I watch my reactions carefully because they always clue me in to what's really going on inside of me. It's you'll change. I guess that's what I'm getting at. You'll change, and you know, it's funny too, because a lot of things start fitting together that always seemed very far apart, like they didn't work together. You know, I look at astrology now, and I thought, well, how did that work? You know, why is that real? And yet, you know, you've got astrology over here, you've got numerology over there, you've got acupuncture over here. What do they all mean? How do they all string together? It seems like there needs to be a cohesive whole. And yet now I say, oh, well, of course, planets, they're energy bodies. They come in contact with each other. They create fields of energy, of information that has a characteristic to it. Yeah, makes sense. You know, numbers, oh, yes. Numbers are a language that describe how things are put together in our world. Those numbers carry an energy to them. Ah, makes sense. You know, acupuncture, oh, we're looking at the lines of energy that run through a person's physical body, the lines of flow of who they are. And you are, you know, manipulating those with little tiny needles. Oh, that makes sense. So for me, flow now is sort of like the source through everything. And people have learned to use it in these individualized ways. You know, they read a chart of it, or, you know, they'll, you know, do things to your body with it. I guess my particular way is to look at flow and say, I see the past and the present and the future in it. And I see ways that we can use our present to shape our future. It's like I sculpt the energy. I sculpt the grand big stuff that's within everything. I know it sounds like a big thing to say. When I say it, I sound a little ridiculous. But honestly, that's what I do.
No, I love it. And also, I want to bring it back to earlier in the show. A question came up for me. But first of all, if you're listening and you're wondering what flow dreaming is, you can go to Summer's website, flowdreaming.com. You can listen to her radio show, and she talks a lot about the flow. You can also get a free MP3, and she's doing a webinar on September 12th. So you can go to flowdreaming.com for all of that information. And it is a free webinar, so I encourage you to check that out. But you were mentioning earlier in the hour how you sometimes you'll be in the flow and you'll find this resistance, and so you'll bring yourself back. And what the thought that came up for me is that when you're in your flow, and you're practicing this consistently, it's kind of like when you're going to the gym every day, it's easier to keep going, right? But then if you stop going to the gym for 2 weeks, it's a lot harder to get your butt off the couch, right? You miss one day, it's okay.
You know what I've noticed with all of my clients and people in my mentorship programs? By the way, I have a couple of cool programs. One of them is the big one that I talked about that I've been completely changing. It's where we get together as a group, and I work individually with people. We work as a group together, and this is the kind of thing that we have to address. The fact that you get inspired by something, you get into it, you work it, you stay good, and what happens when you go to the gym for a few months? You start to feel better. You start to get some results. You lose a few pounds. You know, your friends start to say, oh, wow, those pants look great on you. And then things come up, and you stop going. Well, when you're flow dreaming, it can be a similar experience because people usually come to this practice because they're in pain of some sort. They're suffering. There's a part of their life that's not working. They know they have to fix it. That's why they come. They're coming from a desire to fix something, a lack of money, a lack of love, a lack of health, a lack of security, all kinds of things. when you start to feel a response for that, when things start changing, and often it's very subtle, you know, it's just happening around you, but you're feeling a little better. It's when you start feeling a little better that you start to forget the flow dream. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you don't have that push on you anymore. You're starting to get okay with it. And when you get okay with it, you think, well, I'm going to just kind of relax into this for a while. I'm going to go back into the world of physical action and sort of enjoy what I created. Then you go along that ways for a while, meaning you don't do any flow dreaming, you don't do any spiritual work, you're just going back into the real world, and then things start to get a little rough again. And you go, oh, that's right, I got to get back to it. It's kind of like putting on pounds, right? It's a very similar thing. And that's why this is a practice that people tend to do, and then they stop for a while, they enjoy the fruits of their labor, and then they come back. And then there are, of course, there are people who just say, well, I couldn't figure it out, and I can't do it. And, you know, those are people that, unfortunately, they just have to kind of keep working their path and find something that does work for them, that they can get, you know, their particular results from.
I find, actually, Summer, it's interesting because you had talked about the woman who did the prosperity challenge and then won all that money. And mm-hmm. when I first started listening to Flow Dreaming, I actually won a trip to Toronto through your show, nice. Through Hay House, right?
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
there's sort of almost, I think there can be an aspect of sort of beginner's luck. Because you kind of, you're like, oh, you try something and then you see the results. And it's almost like losing weight. Like when you finally find a technique that works, you go to the gym and you're doing it and you see the results and it's great. And then if you let yourself slack off and then you gain all the weight back, then you're trying harder. It can be harder the next time to get yourself motivated because yeah. you're not only, there's more resistance because you have the disappointment in yourself because you should know better. And I think it's the same with flow dreaming. Like when you're doing it and you get started and you see the results, it's easier because the excitement is new. And
right.
then when you fall off the wagon and you're trying to get back up there, I find that there's just more resistance because there's this additional, like I know that it's worked in the past. So almost of trying to force it, which is the opposite of what you want to do.
What you're describing is achievement anxiety.
Ah.
Okay? Yeah, it's an energy. Again, you always have to be aware of that, those other subtle energies that start running. The second time you start it up, you're like, well, it's got to be just like the first time. I have to. If I don't get that, then I'm going to feel let down. Okay, so you're going in with a certain level of expectation at that point. Anything less than what you had prior achieved is going to feel like, nah, not so much of an achievement. Okay, so you have to understand, oh, what am I really bringing into my flow? What is it? Am I putting something in there that's also pulling me back? Because remember, everything you're feeling is like sending out instructions into your flow. It's like computer code going out or an octopus squirting ink into the sea. Everything you feel is going out. There's the stuff that you're consciously feeling and creating as you flow dream. Then there's the hidden stuff that's saying, well, the first time was just a fluke, or, well, I hope you do as well as you did the first time, or I wonder how long it's going to take this time, right? A lot of stuff starts flowing through you. You have to dialogue with yourself and ask, hey, what is that? What I see with people is that it's sometimes big spectacular things happen right in the beginning. And I joke, it's like because there was an elephant leaning on your door and you actually finally opened the door. You know, this was stuff that was wanting to come in and you finally opened yourself to receive it and there it came tumbling in. What happens after that? You're starting to reprogram your flow now with what comes next, what comes next. That's going to take a little while to be put together. It's a custom menu. Things have to be aligned, the right people, the right timing, the right circumstances. And you have to allow that to happen. That's what they call divine timing. But if you continuously do this, if you keep it going, your life, it's like, starts to just go up. I mean, it inclines. It just keeps kind of heading up another notch, up, 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 up. And it's gradual, but it's consistent. And internally, you'll find that you have a lot less anxiety. You have a lot less depression. You have a lot more faith in anything that you do or try. You can make a decision without having to mull it over for 5 months or regret it later or worry that you'll regret it later. All of these characteristics that you may, you know, used to have been in you go away because they're replaced by this kind of really crystal clear surety of who you are, what you can achieve, and how the universe will respond to you if you do it.
Awesome, Summer. Well, we're almost out of time. Parts Unknown is going to be up in just a couple minutes here on CITR. So I'm going to have to end the conversation here. It has been such a pleasure speaking with you. And this, we've been speaking right now with Summer McStravick. She is the creator of Flow Dreaming, and you can find her at flowdreaming.com. And I imagine you're going to pretty much pick up where we left off on September 12th in your webinar.
Oh, yes. 8 reasons why you're not getting all that law of attraction stuff you think you should be getting.
Yay.
For free. So
awesome. Yes, thank
and
you so
much. By the way,
much.
It's already got, I mean, we've got about 1,000 people already. So get in there because I'm going to have to close the doors pretty soon.
Cool. I don't know if I'm actually officially signed up or not, so I'm going to go do that when I get home today.
Yeah, get in.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you again on September 12th or listening to you as well. So again, flowdreaming.com, Summer McStravick, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Marie. Pleasure as always.
Have a wonderful day.
Yes, you
take
too.
Care. Bye. So again, you can find Summer McStravick at flowdreaming.com, or you can also connect with her on Facebook. Just look up Flow Dreaming and you will be able to connect with her there. She's got lots of great tips, and I'm totally going to be in on the webinar on September 12th, and I hope you will be too. So up next here on CITR is Parts Unknown, so stick around for that. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and I'll be back next Monday with another episode of Synchronicity. Oh, Is next the long weekend? Next weekend?
No. I think
There's going to be a day off somewhere in the next couple of weeks, but not sure if it'll be next Monday. Anyway, I will see you next time whenever Synchronicity is on noon on Mondays. So have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.